Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Again this morning, the smoke from the Sistine Chapel was black. The cardinal electors of the Roman Catholic Church have not yet chosen a new pontiff. Reed Collins reports from the Vatican.
The sixth ballot has been taken and burned, and no one received the required 75 votes. As the last wisp of black smoke drifted over St. Peter's Square this morning, Vatican Radio announced over loudspeakers in the square that the smoke was truly black and suggested the populace join the church in prayer. At that, the crowd began to disperse, some taking the advice of the loudspeaker and going into the basilica. Some recall that it took three-day periods to elect the last two popes before the one-day victory of Pope John Paul in August. But in those days, there was just one voting session per day, and not two as there are now. If no one emerges victor after today's afternoon balloting and tomorrow's balloting, then the Constitution calls for a brief pause, consultation, prayer, and a little pep talk by the Cardinal Deacon Felici. But there are six more ballots before that can happen. Only the 111 cardinals participating know the likelihood of that. Reed Collins, CBS News, the Vatican.
The 1978 Nobel Prize for Economics was awarded this morning to Professor Herbert Simon of Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. Simon, who is 62 years old, told CBS News why he got the award.
I think it was for work that I've done on decision-making in organizations, business organizations and others, trying to understand better the way in which investment decisions and other policy decisions in businesses are actually made, and trying to take account in the theory of the limits on human information, the limits on people's ability to make complex calculations, which hadn't been taken much account of in classical economic theory.
Professor Simon is the seventh American to win the Nobel Economics Prize since it was established 10 years ago. He's been at Carnegie Mellon University since 1949. The 95th Congress finally adjourned last night after a weekend session that lasted more than 34 hours and left many members exhausted. Bill Jones takes a look at what the 95th has done since it opened in January 1977.
In 2 years, the 95th Congress passed some 1,400 pieces of legislation. And as Senate Democratic Majority Leader Robert Byrd indicated in his phone call to President Carter last night, Democrats think the list of accomplishments is long.
There's the Panama Canal treaties, the Middle East arms sales, the Turkish arms embargo, and then domestically we've taken on the tough ones, the energy legislation that has been so needed for so long a time. ERA, D.C. representation, Humphrey Hawkins, civil service reforms, minimum wage, shoring up the Social Security system. What a record. What a record.
However, Republicans have a somewhat different interpretation of that 95th record. In his final assessment, Republican Minority Leader Senator Howard Baker says important legislative measures, some involving billions of taxpayers' dollars, were considered in such haste in the last days of this session that this might be called the Assembly Line Senate. Bill Jones, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Among the important legislative measures mentioned by Senator Baker that went through in the final hours of the 95th Congress was the tax cut bill. George Herman has a follow-up on that.
Today, the staff of the tax writing committees starts the long, hard work of translating the general principles agreed to into the precise language of a new tax cutting law, and a lot of money can be won or lost in the process. Presidential advisor Stuart Eisenstadt said on CBS's Face the Nation yesterday that it's impossible to say whether the president should accept or veto the tax cut law until the details are all clarified and the totals added up. Congress thinks the bill cuts taxes by $18.7 billion. White House experts think the total may be closer to $20.7 billion. But the president's men will keep close to the congressional staff, trying to influence the language of the law in their direction wherever possible. In the end, after Social Security taxes rise next January and inflation puts most taxpayers into higher brackets, most Americans will end up paying higher taxes next year than this, but not as much higher as they would have without this bill. George Herman, CBS News, Washington.
From the White House, Lee Thornton reports the presidential view of the 95th's achievements.
As the 95th Congress adjourned, President Carter offered congratulations on what he called a record of accomplishment unmatched in more than a decade. The President and the Congress had come a long way. As one official here put it, the fact is a lot of our ships have begun to come in. Here at the White House, the inclination is not to look back, but ahead. Though Mr. Carter is riding the crest of a wave of congressional victories, there are a number of measures the administration did not get through this Congress. They include labor law reform, welfare reform, a consumer protection measure, a voter registration package, hospital cost containment, and establishment of a Department of Education. Officials promise, in their words, to come back heavily on those issues. Though no one here will say it, the administration clearly believes it has just completed its early education with Congress. And though it may not have earned highest honors, the Carter administration seems content with what it considers a lot of high marks. Lee Thornton, CBS News, the White House.
The president cast six vetoes during the 95th Congress. None was overridden. Canadians go to the polls today to elect 15 new members of the 264-member House of Commons. Details from Mark Colpitz of News Radio Canada in Ottawa.
This is the biggest test to date for Progressive Conservative Party leader Joe Clark and Ed Broadbent, leader of the socialist-leaning New Democratic Party. For Liberal leader and Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, the results will be an indication of what Canadians think of his 10 years as leader of the country. The issue has been Trudeau and his government's record while in power. The Conservatives and New Democrats have campaigned on what they call the Liberals' mismanagement of the economy. Canadians are faced with an 8.6% rise in the cost of living this year and an 8.5% unemployment rate. The Liberals hold the majority of seats in Parliament, and the results of these 15 by-elections will not change that. But all three leaders will get an indication of what the people think now and what may be in store when a national election is held next year. Mark Colpitz for CBS News in Ottawa.
Egyptian and Israeli negotiators are holding another day of informal working sessions in Washington. They are said to be making good progress as they work out details of their projected peace treaty. Arab foreign ministers are meeting in Beirut, hoping to arrange a permanent ceasefire in the fighting between Syrian troops and Christian militiamen. The current truce is still holding, more or less, but the Christian radio in Beirut this morning reports what it calls an ominous increase in the number of violations. Rhodesian military forces have begun an air and ground search for black nationalist guerrillas who last night carried out another attack near the Mozambique border. They fired about 50 mortar shells into the town of Umtali. It was the second time Umtali has come under fire in recent weeks. Five people were wounded in last night's incident. Earthquake experts in California today are getting some advice that they probably won't be able to do anything about. Bob Melrose of station KCBS in San Francisco explains.
California is known as earthquake country, but one state seismologist wishes it would be more so. Tucson Topazada, who works for the State Division of Mines and Geology, says a big California earthquake is overdue, and what the state needs are lots of little temblers to relieve the pressure. It's also possible California could be entering a long period of earthquake inactivity, but Topazada says he would need to look at data that goes back 1,000 years to come to that conclusion. Topazada says his latest laser beam readings on major seismic faults in the state show that the rate of strain is not being decreased. The strain could be eased only by a significant number of lower magnitude jolts. Topazada believes 10 major earthquakes should have occurred in the state since 1957. Only four have, so the scientist thinks Californians may be living on borrowed time. Bob Melrose for CBS News, San Francisco.
West Germany today revalued the mark upward against some other West European currencies in the European Joint Currency Float System. The value of the mark was raised 4% against the Danish and Norwegian currencies, 2% against the Dutch, Belgian, and Luxembourg currencies. The result may be to improve the value of the dollar, at least temporarily. The dollar did decline slightly today against the Japanese yen, but it was up a bit on the major European exchanges. The New York Yankees defeated the Los Angeles Dodgers yesterday 12-2, and they now have a 3-2 edge in the 1978 Baseball World Series. The sixth game will be played tomorrow night in Los Angeles. If a seventh game is needed, it will take place Wednesday night, also in Los Angeles.